In this episode of Man vs. Marriage, Jeannie is a big fat sissy, and we're going to be talking about overwhelmed. We'll be right back. Welcome back to another episode of Man vs. Marriage. It is I, the Q-diggity dog, in the Moran family studio with my lovely wife, Sissy. Say what's up to the world.
Sissy, really? That was me filtering the first thought that came through my mind.
Hey, it's explicit for a reason, but I also forgot that I'm supposed to pause my face for a minute or something, as my editor discussed.
Pause your face?
Yeah, I think so. Because, yeah.
Okay, well, you did it. Moving on.
Moving on. All right, today we are going to talk about overwhelmed. Ever heard of that new concept?
Ever? New?
Ever heard of that thing? New? Yeah, it's here. And we don't mean to make light of it. The reason we're making light of it is because we've been there, done that. As
still doing that.
As TK used to say, been there, done that, bought the t-shirt. Yeah, I think that was funny. First time I ever heard is when she said it. So with that, do all the things. Share the podcast with a friend. You know what? Actually, share this podcast with 10 friends. If they tell you no, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. And I'm a big boy and I can take it. But tell them. Share. It's the ripple effect. It's actually a really big deal. When you tell somebody, your friends, as close as you are, may not be sharing with you how they're struggling in their relationship. If you share this, they might laugh it off, and then they might go listen to it. They don't know, we don't know, but they know. And if it changes their life, isn't it worth the risk? I mean, I'm asking you, honey, wouldn't it be worth the risk?
I would think so.
Yeah. So you share the show too.
I do.
Jeannie? Moran? Quincy? Moran? Share it. Now, one quick thing. If I promised you a shirt, it's coming. Okay? The shirt is on the way. Stickers.
We've ran into a few production issues, but they're coming. They're coming.
We have. We have. And that's okay. But we're going to get some stickers made, and I'm going to get some hats made. And we're going to start to put this out there. And just know this. I'm putting this out to the audience as well. Kind of sharing what can be overwhelming for me is that Family Famous is getting ready to blast off. It's getting ready to blast off. And I can't wait to share that with you. I'm very excited. So do all the things. Share the show. Like the show. Rate the show. And email the show. Quincy@mvsmpodcast.com. If you don't know how to spell my name, Quincy. It's Quincy at mvsmpodcast.com.
You got the Mickey Mouse song stuck in your head again, didn't you?
Yes.
Uh-huh, me too.
It happens. It happens. So today we're going to talk about being overwhelmed, and we've got a few examples to share with you. One of them, I will go look for the show, and I will put it in the link to the show notes. And then when my producer, Ashlyn, puts the video episode up, I'll have her put it in the YouTube link so you can go listen to this in live time, which is, there's an episode called Empty the Cup. There might even be show one and two way back in the day. And it was Coach Rita talking me through, and maybe it's called Pour Out the Cup, but it's one of those things talking about overwhelmed. So today, Jeannie's going to share some examples with you. We hope to keep this short and sweet and to the point, give you some actions to take so this is not just good information, and then let you go on about your merry way, and then tell us your story. Your story is important. I was kind of bummed out a little bit recently because I did a podcast episode that says, you matter. And the downloads for that are tracking well behind the other, like the other episodes that were released around it. And that's concerning to me. Is the market flooded with too many messages about why you matter? Or do people simply not believe it? So as one of the 1,000 or more people who downloads this program every month, you, the listener, go find that You Matter episode. If you haven't listened to it, please do. And then share it with people. Just send it over. Say, thinking of you, something of that nature. Because we as a people need to know how much we matter, A, to the world, but B, no, I'm going to say A, to our family and those people who love us, and B, to your friends and those extended family. You matter, and you're worth the investment of your time, so go get it. Without further ado, let's talk about being overwhelmed. Honey, I'm going to turn it over to you and talk about some of the things you went through, a couple examples, kids, books, etc. Give us what you got.
Probably the easiest example was when we were having kids in the beginning. Quincy and I made a bunch, and we had five under the age of five in diapers at one time. And I was sole care provider during the day because he was working. And we had like in-home therapies and things, but at that time, majority of our daily routine, you know, taking care of the kids, feeding everybody, cleaning the house, that kind of stuff fell to me. And I used to get really frustrated because it felt like no matter how much I did, like take laundry, for example, no matter how many loads I did, it never got done. Like it just kept coming. We had five kids. They like to make messes. You can't leave a kid sitting in wet clothes. We had a lot of stuff going on. We had issues with changing bed sheets and all that kind of stuff. They, I mean, triplets shared a bed. If one peed, they all did it. Yeah. So it just became tedious to me. It just felt like no matter what I did, I could not get anything accomplished. I felt like I was just always behind the eight ball. And those are hard things for me. Like you would come home and it wasn't an a-hole thing to do, but it kind of was the way I took it, because he would come home and be like, wow, what did you do today? Because the house was still, you know, pretty tore up. I took care of five kids under the age of five. You know, that it's not just plop them in front of the TV or an iPad and let the day go. There's a lot involved with five kids that age. So I used to shut down, not communicate. I didn't ask for help. I didn't want people to help. I was nervous about having people in our home. I was nervous about having people see what we were. I didn't want people to see what I was not capable of doing.
There were people who came alongside us and helped us tremendously.
They did. I think majority of our help came in right about the time we got pregnant with twins and we're starting to shift houses and all that kind of stuff, because there was a good solid period right after we announced we were pregnant with triplets that a lot of people scattered. But we did have family that helped.
Oh, Lord, yes. My goodness.
Grammy to the rescue. But it was still hard because it just felt like these people were coming in to do things that I should have been capable of doing.
Yeah.
And I just felt like I couldn't. I just could not keep up. And I still get that way sometimes. Like with Hunter and Kiki, when we start talking about wanting to put them in sports and wanting to get therapies and all these different things, I start getting kind of antsy because it makes my schedule feel like it's so much bigger. And it's really hard for me to wrap my brain around it because we already have a really full schedule. So that for me was kind of, I don't know, I took the brunt of it on myself. Like it was my fault. I couldn't do things. And then when you and I would argue or something would come up, it was just like you were just throwing another dart at me that I already had on my board. And so it caused some frustration. It caused some arguments. It caused some issues. But most of it was just simply I didn't ask for help. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how to ask for help. I didn't know how to do it and not feel like I was a failure at something or feel like I was exposing myself to people that I couldn't keep up with stuff.
And truth be told, just to butt in again, that's a bad habit I've got, but...
You get it from me.
You're on video. People just saw you consent with that.
And you're the one that wanted to put me on video.
I do. Not OnlyFans. Just throwing that out there.
My feet are not going on TV. You're welcome.
It's some man. Okay. Anyway. Focus. Looking at the way that you are built for success is if you have a plan, you can attack the plan. And whatever, like the things you would plan for a day in a roundabout way, you would get these things done. And we hadn't learned skills to communicate at that point. And so we hadn't learned about the speed bump situation. So during that time, I can recall, I would be calling home and saying, hey,
can you do this?
Can you do this? And can you do this? Uh-huh. Can you do this? And the difference, like I would look at it like just complete transparency here. I would look at it when I was there to take care of the kids and you were doing something. I would mobilize them, put them to work, and march them around like little soldiers. So, you know, part of it was like, if I can do this.
Well, that was when they were older, though, because little bitty age, they weren't marchable yet. They were still very much in the sit and play with me and teach me mode.
But think back. Think back to what I used to do with them when I taught them the theory of 101. They were very little. And I would put them in separate rooms, and I would call out, 101. Do you even remember this?
No.
I would call out, 101, and they would all come and take their place on the couch and sit where they were supposed to sit, hands in their lap, and be quiet. I would practice that. Like, if you were gone doing something, even when you were home, if you were taking a bath or whatever, I put the kids to work, because that's it, whether, you know, it's training or whatever I did. And I always look at you like I'm just a knucklehead country boy. Anyway, it was just the wrong way to look at it, just flat out, because the way I run the home is not the way that you run the home.
Mm-mm.
The way that I run the day is not the way that you run the day. The beauty is that our strengths actually complement one another. Our weaknesses complement one another, because I can look at a room that needs to be packed, and I get overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. There's too much to do. It's like, I'm going to pack this sock. I'm going to pack this baseball card. And it's overwhelming. And I'm like, you're so good at this. I'll lift heavy boxes.
That's because we've been playing Tetris for so many years with putting the kids in cars.
So that was just a caveat to say, we do things differently. And it's a good thing to a degree that we do. But true, we hadn't learned how to communicate when either one of us were feeling overwhelmed. We hadn't learned how to communicate when one of us was frustrated and feeling resentment. We hadn't learned how to communicate when we were feeling alone. We hadn't learned how to communicate with this is airing our grievances or our dirty laundry or any of that. We hadn't learned it. So we were going based on what we saw growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to make sure that caveat was in there so that they would know we face the same challenges that you do.
Well, and we had to come to terms with being okay that you have your way of doing things and I have my way of doing things, because there are sometimes you'll get two people together and one person will be like, these are your jobs, these are my jobs. But then if you don't do that job the way that the other person would do it if it was theirs, it causes some bickering and some frustration. And, you know, we can use this example. I went to my parents' house to visit. And while I was gone, I wouldn't normally do this back then when they were smaller. I had a dinner schedule. I had a meal schedule because that's how we had to do things. And I had to make stuff stretch. We had a lot of hot dogs and mac and cheese. But while I was gone for the week, every time we FaceTimed or talked to the kids, Daddy gave us biscuits. Okay, cool. They had biscuits today. That's good. No. every day. We had biscuits every day. And it was just kind of like, why are we doing biscuits every single day? Because they're good. Because daddy likes them. And then one of them comes out and says, because mama's not home. So as I got frustrated at first, because it was just kind of like, I had a meal plan. I had the stuff there. This is what you should have done. But then looking back now, I was gone for 5 days. Daddy was just going to have a good time for 5 days because you didn't really get weeks like that very often. So I had to step back and say, you know what, just do it your way and have fun. And when I get back, we'll go back to doing it the way that we were doing it. But it's the same way that we do like cleaning now. When we do deep clean, Quincy has a standard that things have to be done at for the kids. Whereas for myself, when I'm doing these chores, I have a different way that I go about doing them. It's not that it's not clean or that it's any better or worse. It's I'm older. I've learned to do things a little differently because I don't want to get down on the floor to clean something up. But we've had to come to terms with it may not get done exactly the way the other person would do it. And it's okay as long as the things that needed to get done got done. It's fine. But it took us a while to get to that where it wasn't frustrating because we're all so self-centered that it's my way. I want it done my way. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work that way when you're married and have kids. You know, when we had people come in and babysit or help with the kids, I used to get frustrated because this is not how I would have done it. This is not how I do things. Okay, but I'm hiring someone to come in and do something for me based on their capability to handle my 5 kids under the age of 5. This is not something that is an everyday occurrence for a 16, 17, 18-year-old kid coming in to help take care of people for me so I can go to the grocery store.
Yeah, even just with our kid, we're on a rabbit trail and we'll bring it back, but just talking through it, even with our kids watching the kids now, and you've expressed some frustration from time to time, and it's like, do not set the expectation that they're going to watch our kids like a parent, because they're not.
That was really hard with surgery recovery to wrap my brain around that, because like, oh God, I want to get up and go do this. I want to get up and go do this, but I couldn't, and I had to just sit there, and as long as they're fed, they're bathed, they're clean, they're safe, we're good. Just, I have to wrap my head around that.
Yeah. And it's, and like, from my point of view, it's like, there's a particular standard. I, as dad, there are standards that I need to roll out with my children. And it's probably a man thing to a degree, but I look at it and I managed people for 15 years. And so I know a little bit about the workforce. I want you to be a productive human being in society. B, I want you to understand what it's like to lead people and to be led.
Well, and to earn something.
Yeah, those things. And so our children now in the workforce go out, and the people they work for want to promote them. Mm-hmm. Because I built a work ethic in them. Now, as they get older, and they're teenagers and early 20s, their standards at home are kind of lagging, but at work, they're excelling. So that's them feeling overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And figuring out where they can cut corners. So this is a conversation we should have as a family, talk with them. But go ahead and pull it back into the overwhelmed part.
So we'll shift gears here. One of the things that I've noticed, and I didn't realize it until recently, when you put too many things in front of me, so let's say you have a goal. I have a goal to get my book out this summer. Sorry, I have to adjust. So, and I've been trying to do this for going on 5 years now. So what I noticed was as soon as I started, I had my deadline, my brain started going all over the place because now I have a deadline. I have to do this. This has to get done. And I kind of prioritized it that way. But then when I got to thinking further after my deadline, then what? Okay, once it goes to the editor, then what? And I started looking at, you know, the the stores I'm going to have accounts with, and how I'm going to set up my advertising, and what I'm going to do to promote, and, you know, the different groups that I'm going to need to get involved in, and do I need to go to signings, and all these, and all the swag, and all these different things just piled up in front of me, and my brain stopped. It's like, whoop, that's too much. We can't do that. And then I started slacking on my writing, because if I don't meet the deadline, or I have to push it out a little bit, I still have time to learn these other things. But I never really took the time to learn the other things, because I looked at it as this is too much. This is just too much for me. So going forward, just like with the kids, I had to come to Quincy and say, okay, this is what I'm looking at. You're really good with reports. You are really good with finance stuff. You are really good with finding suppliers and certain things that we need, because it's your business. It's what you do. You're, the business that you work in, when somebody says, I need this, and you don't have it, you find it. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's not my area of expertise. It overwhelms me to have to go through so many things to find something. So I guess what we're getting to is, I get overwhelmed. I shut down. I stop. I postpone. I push things back. I let my goals slack, because it feels like it's too much, rather than saying, I need help with this, rather than owning the fact that, I need to split this task, because these are the areas that I'm really good, and these are the areas that scare the shit out of me, and I don't know how to do it. Mm-hmm. And rather than just shut down, I've had to come to grips with, okay, what areas can you help with? What areas do we need to get an outside person? Mm-hmm. Same with the kids. I was with the kids 24/7. I didn't have a breather. I'm always in mom mode, no matter what. And when you come home, it's a split hat between mom and wife. And it was very, very difficult to try to navigate that with small children, multiple children, and trying to, at the same time, have some time to myself. Mm-hmm. Have some time to evaluate. If you were to ask me, even now, you'll hear it in episodes. Quincy will say, well, what can I do to help? My brain stalls out for a second, because I don't know. I haven't taken the time to ask myself, where do I need help? I'm getting better at it, but it's one of those things where overwhelm becomes normal. You get used to it, and as soon as you see all of these things come at you, and you start to feel overwhelmed, you go to a default. Oh, okay. Nope. That's too much. That's too much. We're gonna back up. We're gonna start back over. You know, we're not quite ready for that yet. Rather than saying, okay, that's a lot. Okay, hold on. Let me ask Quincy. Does this look like a lot to you? Are there areas that you think you could help me? Is this something that you think I could take on? And then having you help me break it down into pieces. I'm really good at outlining things. I really suck at breaking things down for myself. Now, you give me a lesson plan for the kids. And when we homeschooled, I know this one needs auditory, this one needs visual, this needs tactile. I can take that lesson plan and break it down all kinds of steps for each individual person. But for myself, because I don't focus that way, I automatically go, nope, too much. Can't do it. I can't break it down. Don't know how to do it. There's too many things staring at me. I just don't know how.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of people that I have talked with in various things. This is where their anxiety becomes a problem. Because you've overwhelmed yourself. You've tried to take it on. You haven't asked for help. You haven't told anybody anything. You're hiding behind something. And then you just stop. And now you feel like you're failing. Now you feel like you can't handle stuff. Now you feel like, you know, you don't want anybody to know you can't do it. So what I have learned is, when I start getting overwhelmed, I have, depending on the area, I have, say, three people. You're always number one. I have somebody who helps me with my book stuff, and I have somebody who helps me with my family stuff. And those are the three people that I can call and say, okay, this is what's going on. Is it just me? Am I seeing too much in this? Am I making this an issue? how do I fix this? What do you see? Where can we break this down? Because when you're in it, you don't always see the breakdown. You just see the stuff.
Yeah. And I think one thing that's extremely important is recognizing the symptoms. Because when you are in a place of being overwhelmed, here's what I've learned from experience. The basics all of a sudden become overwhelming.
Yep.
It's like, yeah, I don't know. It's like...
Suddenly you hear your kids chewing food a lot louder than you did yesterday.
That's true.
Little things start annoying you and you start getting really frustrated. And the whole problem is you're frustrated with yourself.
Yes.
Because you're not owning up to the fact that you're overwhelmed and you need help. So every little thing starts to piss you off or frustrate you.
Yeah. And so that it's important to know when you're getting overwhelmed, you need to be aware of these things. And then what happens? And it came to me, so I wrote it down and I'll share it with you. You actually alluded to it a little bit. What happens when you get overwhelmed is you resort to whatever your emotional crutches are. What do those look like? You eat. You overeat.
Impulsive shopping.
You know what? That's a good one because I didn't...
Impulsive shopping is a family trait, I have learned.
From you talking about...
My sister does it. My mama does it. I do it.
Okay, that's...
It's a pattern that we've learned over the years. This is how we deal with emotions, one of the ways.
That is freaking breaking news right here on MVSM. Yeah. I mean, we knew that you struggled with it, you know, but it's... Maybe you overeat. Maybe you just... People talk about falling off the wagon, and then there is, I'm rocket propelled off the wagon. you know what I'm saying?
The other one is sometimes you will help too much. You will busy yourself with helping others so you don't have to deal with your
own.
That's
a good one. I'm going to write that one down.
I have noticed that is a pattern for me sometimes when I get stuck in something. If I help somebody else, it helps me feel better.
Yeah.
But it doesn't necessarily address my problem.
Okay. Well, that's really good. And then there's also another one. You drink, or you drink too much when you get overwhelmed. Casual drink, cool. Drinking in a pattern. Drinking too much, it's an emotional crutch.
Mm-hmm.
And those emotional crutches have physical impacts. They have physical, I lost the word, but implications. You know what I'm saying? They mm-hmm. do. Or you get into your phone. Like you just dive into your phone and figure out what else in life is, how can I distract myself?
Yeah.
How can I get into a game? How can I get on Facebook? How can I get on Instagram? How can I go see how bad other people have it? What can I do on Snapchat, et cetera? You get into your phone. What's another emotional crutch? You sabotage yourself. Now that, I put it separately, but the preceding things we discussed sabotage you.
Mm-hmm.
Even a great point that you talked about, even busying yourself in other people's problems, because you can do that.
Well, I noticed that... I would start filling my schedule with things for like the kids or, you know, I'm going to do this project for the kids because I want to do this project for the kids. But, and it's not that the project was bad. When we were homeschooling, it worked. It was a great thing. But it also took me away from the things that I was supposed to be focusing on because I was doing something good for the kids. But I was doing something good for the kids.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all excuses.
Justification.
Yeah. It's all justification. It's all excuses because it becomes that emotional crutch when you're feeling overwhelmed. And there are many symptoms that lead to this. And my philosophy that I adapted years ago was awareness is a weapon. It's a weapon. If you have a weapon in your hand, you can use the weapon for good or you can use the weapon for evil or against yourself. So how do you attack these things once you're aware of them? And that's where looking at these various symptoms that come along with it, if there's a lot going on for you and a basic thing like, can you pick up some milk on the way home? And all of a sudden you turn into a raging $$ hole. You probably...
I'll say it. It's okay.
Donald Trump. Never mind.
No.
That's a funny one.
No.
But that is a symptom. You treat the symptom, okay, it's good temporarily, but you have to go to the root cause. That is what's necessary to get past this situation, to learn techniques to deal with that, to learn techniques to overcome that, which will help you push through the moment. I'm one that's big on allowing myself to feel the pain. Feel it like a wave. Let it wash over you. Because as consistent as the ocean is, the wave comes in, but what does the wave do? It also goes out. So allow it. Allow that time. Allow the pain, the frustration, whatever it is. Let it wash over you. That's when you're making your plan. Okay, here's what I'm going to have to do. Here's what I have to do. Here's what I have to do. When the wave washes out, now you take a deep breath and you move forward in your plan. But none of it works if you don't have techniques or tactics or what I call a philosophy to live by, which is what early on I had to redefine what that was, because I was living an incredibly emotional life. So you've got to have a process to put forward here. So do you have any techniques that you can offer the listener? You've already alluded to some of them. You know, you have a three-person system, and it's topically based. If it's life, you're saying you talk to me. If it's book, you talk to Andy. If it's family, you talk to someone else. But you have a system in place where you go.
That, and I like to learn things. So if I notice that there's something very specific that I'm struggling with, or if I notice that I have my own hang up, something that's making me feel like I'm failing or something that's making it difficult, I will search out resources. Ed Milet's a good one. Sometimes I'll find books that help me, and I will make a point to say, okay, I'm going to read this over the next 3 or 4 days. The practice of writing the things that I love about myself to help me not pay attention to my shortcomings so much. Most of the time, though, the first thing I do is break it down. I have to break it down into priority. So first, I will contact whoever I need to talk it through, to say, okay, this is what's going on. I don't know how to deal with this. The second thing I will do is, if it's something that's really big and it's something that might affect my attitude, we have a family meeting. Mm-hmm. You know, writing the book and being on a deadline, we have a family meeting that says, okay, from this day to this day, mom's going to have to cram X amount of time. So what that does for me is now I'm taking the overwhelm of my daily and saying, guys, I need you to step up and take this so that mom can focus on this.
Right.
Knowing that you have to ask for that help, acknowledging that you have to ask for that help is huge, because I used to be like, no, I don't want the kids to do it. I don't want them to have, the kids can do it. They're old enough, they can handle it. If it's something that is like personal, something that's affecting me personally, that's a check-in conversation. That's a, hey, we need to have a check-in because I need to know your feedback on this, and I need to see if I need to get someone else involved. It really depends on what it is. I mean, we've had some things where it's just been... Because what happens is, when you get overwhelmed, you start nitpicking the crap out of yourself. Mm-hmm. And I need help with things like, Quincy's great at making lists and prioritizing and saying, okay, here's the whole list. Now we're going to break it down to the top three. And these are the top three things that I can focus on. And then we take the rest of the list and we kind of hide it from me. So I'm not staring at... Because I don't know if you've ever done that, but you write your goals, and at first they're like, oh, cool, I've got like 3. And then all of a sudden you realize you have like 10. And you're going, oh, God, how am I going to do that? And then you never focus on 1, 2, or 3 because you see 10. So I kind of take some things away from myself to not focus on it and put it on a timeline. So, okay, I'm going to focus on these 3 things for this amount of time. And then we're going to come back and we'll see where we're at. And if we can move forward, we'll move forward. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really all I can say. I mean, there are times when I just need to break down and let myself have a moment to feel it, get over it, get mad about it, you know?
Yeah.
It is what it is. I mean, there are moments where it is, I just really need to be pissed off right now and get it out of my system.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm a fan of that. And I used to not be. I used to not be where it's like, okay, it's all right for you to feel these emotions. Dude.
Just don't stay there.
Yeah. It's like, okay, you know, the fuse on the bomb is only so long. So burn it out. Now, the problem with the bomb is when it explodes, it causes a lot of damage. So recalibrate that and go, the wick on the candle is only so long. Let it burn out. Just let it burn. Okay, you're mad. You're mad. You're frustrated. Let it out. But once you're done with that, then you can come back to reality. I really think it's, and I've used this technique for a long time, which is let all the air out of the balloon. Just let it all out. And then we'll come back and we'll talk about it. And it kind of, that's why kind of the wick and the candle and the fuse for the dynamite. Dynamite can be a very bad example because you can hurt people. But with that, here's the thing, and you talked about it as well. If I'm a trusted voice in your life, if Jeannie and I are a trusted voice in your life, we're working on resources for this show that will help you. Because there are times where if I'm feeling overwhelmed, if I'm feeling discouraged, if I'm feeling like I'm failing, I will go. I'm a big believer in what you put in your body. It's either food for the spirit or it's not. Like what you eat, what digest, it's either healthy or it's not healthy. So I utilize Ed Milet for that. You do not know how much it meant to me to hear him say, every time I get on stage to speak, I freak out. These are my words, not his, but he's like, I sit there and I go, I'm not ready for this. This is Ed Milet saying he's not ready to go on stage and speak. He's like, I don't know enough. I didn't prepare enough. My mouth is dry. All these things that I experience every time I go to speak. And yet he's one of the top people who does it in the world. And so he's a trusted voice in my life. If we met today, he wouldn't know me. But he's a trusted voice to speak in my life. So when I get to those points, you let the trusted voices in to speak truth to the voices that are on the inside until you can do that yourself. So I'm working. Ashlyn is helping me get into this particular age of, I've just been resistant to video for so long because it's not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got to practice what I preach. And she put some YouTube shorts up. And one of them got over 1,000 views quick. And I'm going, okay, we can use what we do on this show, what we do to help you, the listener. We can put these shorts out there, topic-based. So if you find yourself discouraged, boom, go to the message. If you find yourself feeling overwhelmed, boom, go to the message. You'll develop yourself in such a way where you can do this from within. What's the game changer? If you're a man or a woman of faith, you've already got the juice on the inside. You've got it there. So you just add a little bit of electricity with a message from a trusted voice, and you start to transform and renew your mind so that you can take it on. Sometimes it's too big. You got to go back and get the message in from a trusted voice.
And I think sometimes when you have the trusted voice, accountability is a big thing. It's one of the biggest things I think that was game changer for us was being able to say, okay, this is what I'm doing. This is how I'm feeling. Can you check in on me?
Yeah.
This is what I need. Yeah. And it can be something as simple as if you're trying a new diet and you're struggling with it, give your spouse permission to ask you without getting mad, hey, how did your diet go today? Or, hey, how did you do today with your meal plan? Whatever it is. I used to get mad, so we don't do that one. But we do, I do with my book, I do with other things, tell him, okay, this is where I'm at and I'm struggling with it. So if you could just check on me when you see me kind of having a moment, or if you could just check in more, make sure that I'm staying on task. It helps to have someone else that you could just turn around, and when they say, how are you doing? You'd be like, you know what? This has just been a shit of a day, and I haven't done this, this, and this. And to talk through it before it becomes a stop point.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm just in the moment, this came to me, and because Rita taught us about accountability, and all that's happening when you are asking someone to hold you accountable is you're offering their words back to them. And so to let you know, if you struggle with accountability, Jeannie or listener, listen to this right now. Let it sink in. This is humongous. Accountability is an echo. That's all it is. It's your voice. It's your voice.
Mm-hmm.
So
sometimes I don't like my voice.
It's true. And and a lot of times we do not trust ourselves.
Yeah.
So our own voice back to us hits us in the ego, and we react out of our ego. So know that as you develop yourself. Now, here's a few techniques as we close this out. And I hope you go back, use the links, but or go back and search for empty the cup or pour out the cup. That's the episodes we're talking about that talk about being overwhelmed and how you can do that. Now, what is the number one thing you can do when you feel overwhelmed? What it means is that being overwhelmed means you have run out of capacity within yourself to hold what's going on. Does that sentence mm-hmm. make sense? Okay. So what do you need to do? You need to create space. How do you do that? There's a few ways. One of them, if you have a notebook or a diary, write everything out, everything in your head. Write like nobody is going to read it. Write it all out. That exercise alone will make you feel like your burdens are lighter because you're not holding it in. What happens when you shake a soda or a Coke or a pop? Who knows where you're from in the world? What happens when you shake something that has carbonation? It creates pressure. What happens when pressure gets too overwhelming for what's holding it back? It explodes. And that is what you do. That is what I do. So create space. That's number one. Create space. Whether it's making notes in your phone, whether it's doing a, like, turn the recorder on in your phone, somewhere you're all by yourself, say everything. Let all the air out of the balloon. Create space. If you write it down, you've got it there. Okay. That's the number one thing you can do. Maybe I should just stop right there and say, let's practice that. Let's practice that. Now, once you do that, I won't stop there. But once you do that, I want you to go, and you've got to do some pre-work here. You got to do some pre-work and go listen to this show. Look for episodes that encourage you. But to make it easier, there are shorts on YouTube, which is what we're getting into. But look for them by Ed Milet. Depending on how you're wired, look for them by Jocko. Look for them by Brendan Burchard. Look for Andy Frasilla. Look for Jamie
Kern Lima.
Yeah, Jamie Kern Lima. I thought I had got it back. If you're a sports fan and you respect the greatest coach of all time, look for him by Nick Saban. He's got him out there. Don't smile. Don't laugh me off. He's the greatest coach of all time.
I'm not laughing you off. I'm not at all.
Also, if you have faith, go look up Graham Cook. That guy will change your life on the inside. He will revolutionize the way you think about God and allowing God to encourage you. And soon enough, I'm gonna occupy that space myself. But those are things that you can do. Get a playlist, get a link together in your phone. Once you write it all out, once you let all the air out of the balloon, it's up to you what you fill the balloon with. What are you going to inflate the balloon with? Utilize these tools, these words, to pour something back into yourself, to get an outside opinion that you trust until you develop the mechanism on your own to do that. I'm speaking to you from one place, and that's a place of experience. This is not something I read somewhere. Truly, It's an experience. I'm speaking from experience. So do that. More than a decade's of experience. Do I still struggle? Yes. Yep. Am I okay with that? Yes. I don't have to be perfect at it. But each and every situation that I take through this life, I look at it now as I can find purpose in it. And that purpose is to learn more about myself and those that I love, and then to bring it to the show and share it with you. Two simple techniques there. And I want to hear how it's working for you. And then we'll take those listener emails and we'll put them out here on the show. We'll keep you anonymous, but we'll help you stand outside of the frame so you can hear what's going on, emotionally detach yourself from the situation. It's going to change your life when you do that. I promise you. Anything else, honey?
No, I think you covered it.
Okay, we covered it. What a great episode. I'm going to go back and listen to this thing myself. I'm going to learn from you, and I'm going to learn from me.
Cool beans.
All right. She is Jeannie Moran. I'm Quincy Moran, and this
is Man versus Marriage,
the podcast. I love it. Nicely done.